I would like to pray, and I wonder if you would give me permission to simply invite in a fresh way the Holy Spirit to be among us. We know that he's already here, he's God, he's everywhere. But the Holy Spirit is a person. And you know what it's like to be a person if you are somewhere where you're welcomed, where you're invited, where you're loved. More of you comes out than in a place where that's not the case. So it would be lovely if the Holy Spirit were to be among us this morning, because we love him and we invite him and we welcome him and we long for him and we wait for him. So would you join me in this prayer? Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you to be among us. O Spirit of Christ, manifest the living Savior here. Move among your people. We are needy. Heal us. Fill us with insight. Transform us. Make the Word of God real and understandable to us. Fill our hearts. Fill our souls. Fill our minds. Fill our bodies. Fill our relationships. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for that. You know, in this gospel reading that we've just heard, Jesus is dealing with all kinds of things. Did you notice that? He's dealing with loving him, obeying his commands, manifesting himself to Christian disciples. He's dealing with the Father and the Son making their home with someone. What does that mean? The omnipotent God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, coming together and making their home with someone. What is Jesus communicating here? The coming of the Holy Spirit. How do we tie all this together in one coherent theme? So I want to suggest to you, looking at verse 26, sometimes people want us to tell them what the page on the Pew Bible is. Well, the page is 877 if you're looking for John 14, and we're thinking right now about verse 26, the words of Jesus. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, you know, John 14 is part of this longer, beautiful, awesome, intimate interaction that Jesus is having with the disciples hours before he's going to be crucified. And the question may come, well, how did John remember all the things that Jesus said? He didn't have an iPhone. He wasn't recording this. And the answer is right here. The Holy Spirit, Jesus told them, was going to remind you and bring to your remembrance everything that I've said to you. So I want to use this to share with you 3 points and a story. Are you ready for that? 3 points and a story. Point number one, we have been given a new kind of life. Not just a new life, but a new kind of life. We have been given a life that is of a totally different kind than the kind we received from our parents. Well, you say, Joey, where on earth do you get that? Well, look at verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The Father and the Son coming to make their home with someone. Now, it's even more powerful in verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Have you got the picture? Here's the Father. And the Son is in the Father. You got that? So the next thing is, we Christian disciples are in the Son. So we are in the Son. The Son is in the Father. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus is now in us. You got it? You got the picture? The Father, Jesus is in the Father. We're in Jesus. He's in us. What is he talking about? Intimacy of life. He's talking about a new life. The Gospel of John is full of this. John, even in his prologue to the Gospel, talks about those who did receive him. He gave the power to become the sons of God, who are born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Jesus talking to Nicodemus in John 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the old life. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the new life. This is, Paul is full of this. Paul is full of this. Let me just give you one verse. I love this verse. Many verses I love. 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Apostle Paul. Do you, Christian disciples, do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Don't you know this, that Jesus Christ is in you? And the life of Jesus is a radically different kind of life than the life we got from our parents. Now, I don't know what response that triggers in you, but the response can be a bit mystifying because of this truth. What we're talking about here introduces the conundrum of the Christian life. Have you ever discovered that the Christian life can be a challenge? A challenge to understand, a challenge to live. Where does that come from? It comes from the fact that we have two kinds of life in us. We have the natural life with which we were born. We still have that. And now, if we believe in Jesus in a biblical way of the meaning of belief, we have now received a new life. It's Christ's life. It's life in the Spirit. It's eternal life. I talk a long time about that. It is life from above. We have a new kind of life. And these two kinds of lives are in war with each other. Have you noticed that? Paul's way of expressing this, one way of expressing this is, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit lusts against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So within us, it's important to understand this, because if we understand it, we know how to respond. So we have the natural life. Its essence is self-will. You know, this takes us back to Genesis 3. Our original parents, God put him in the garden, and he said, look, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you all of this to enjoy. But I want to tell you this, don't partake of that tree in the middle of the garden. And our first parents thought they knew better. They thought, what does God know about a blessed life? It looks like to us that tree is really appealing. We're going to eat of the tree. That was the most disastrous decision they ever made. But before we get too harsh on our original parents, each one of us has done the same thing. We have chosen to go away from the God in whose image we have been created. So the essence of the natural life is self-will. It's the self-life. Everything for me. My will, my desires, my plans, my future. That's the essence of the self-life. A new kind of life, Christ-like, Christ's life is to be cultivated. So that God has given us a new life, Christ's life. It's free, it's a gift of grace, we have it. But it's like any other kind of life, it has to be cultivated. You know, you take a seed, put it in the ground, and wait for it to become a tree. Does it work that way? When the seed goes into the ground, it has to be watered. It has to be fertilized. It has to be cultivated. It has to have sun. It has to have rain. Life must be cultivated. And that's what the majority, by the way, of the New Testament is about. Have you ever noticed that? What is the gospel? What is the gospel all about? Well, many people would say it's about forgiveness of sins. Well, that would certainly be true. It is about forgiveness of sins. Is that all? Is that all it's about? You know, if you've seen this bumper sticker, Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. Is that all there is? Just forgiven? Check this out. The majority of the New Testament is not about the forgiveness of sins. The majority of the New Testament is about cultivating the new life that we have been given. That's what the majority of the New Testament is about. Check it out. Okay, that's point number one. We've been given a new life, a new kind of life. Point number two, it's all about the formation of Christian character. Brothers and sisters, character is the essence and the source from which obedience and blessedness comes. The Christian life is not about trying. The Christian life is about becoming. Who is the person you are becoming? It's all about Christian character. Where do you get that, George? Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Now, it's critical that we get commandments and love in the right sequence. Jesus is not saying, I'm not going to love you unless you keep my commandments. He's not saying that. He's already loved us. Love is not in question here. Keeping the commandments is a fruit. It is a product. It is an expression of Christ-likeness formed in the inner life. So as this new kind of life that we have been given by grace is cultivated, you know what happens? Christ-like character grows within. And we become more and more like Christ. Not because we're trying harder, but because this new life is being formed within us. So, you know, Hannah and I find a lot of people wanting to talk about forgiveness. And it's not hard to find people. I found some after the first service who said, you know, it's just very hard to forgive. I can't forgive. So if you say to me, I can't forgive, my response is, okay, I accept that. I respect that. So here's the next question. Are you ready to become the kind of person who forgives? Because that's the kind of person Jesus was. I mean, Jesus didn't hang on the cross and the people are walking before him, viling him, mocking him. I saved others, he can't save himself. He said he was the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus wasn't there just foaming, oh, I wish I could really come down and get these people and throw them all in the hell. He wasn't doing that. Why? He wasn't that kind of person. And as we cultivate the new life that has been given to us, we become different kinds of people. We become people like Jesus. So if I say to you, Jesus wants to make you like him, this is what the Christian life is all about, making you like him, what's your response? Oh, George, that sounds too much. Really? Where is your life going? Is it going toward Christ-likeness? If it's not, what direction is it going in? And would you prefer that direction? Christ-likeness formed in the inner life increasingly brings obedience as a beautiful, grace-filled expression of the character of Christ within. And if you have to give one word that defines the character of Christ within, that one word would be love. Third point, Christ-like character is formed in discipleship. So how do I learn to deal with the old life, put it aside? How do I learn to cultivate the new life? I enter into discipleship with Jesus. What does it mean to become Jesus' disciple? This is what it means. It means we make the decision to make him the master teacher of all of life. We say, Lord, I've listened to this person, I've listened to that person, I've read this book, I've gone to this seminar, I've watched this YouTube, I've been to this deal, and none of it has worked. So, Lord, I come to you. Teach me how human life was created to be lived. We let Jesus be our master teacher. And being with Jesus, learning how to live life from him, teaches us how to deal with the conundrum of the Christian life. Well, I want to tell you a story that to me encapsulates all this. It's a story about my wife, Hannah. But it's also a story about a German businessman called Marcus. So here's the context. Many of you know, and some of you don't, but many of you do, that Hannah and I have spent the last 20 years or so bouncing back between the United States and Germany, living in her home region of Germany. Hannah is a German Jewish Holocaust survivor. And we have gone back to her native area of Germany in a ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation. And there were a group of German Christians who wanted to do a walk through Bonn. Bonn is the city in which Hannah was born. And they wanted to do a walk through Bonn in honor of the former Jewish inhabitants and visit various Jewish places. And they wanted to end with a big meeting in front of the town hall and have Hannah read from the German edition of her autobiography. And the date that they wanted to do this walk was marked May the 3rd. May the 3rd, 1942, was actually the day that Hannah's parents, along with other Jews, were pushed into the back of a gray van in Chełmno, Poland. The doors closed, the gas turned on, and within 20 minutes, they were all dead. May the 3rd, 1942. So Hannah said, wow, you know, this march is going to take place on May the 3rd, I'm going to read from my book what I wrote about my parents' death. So we had our walk. We ended up in front of the town hall. It was raining. Rain doesn't affect the Germans. So they were all there with their umbrellas, but we were under a tent. Hannah read from her book, came back and sat down. Now here comes Marcus. 45 to 50 years old German, successful German businessman from Stuttgart. He comes to the microphone, unplanned. Nobody planned this. It turns out that Marcus, although he's a successful businessman, was addicted to drug, addicted to alcohol, and the doctor told him, if you don't get a handle on this, you're going to die. He repented, came to Jesus, gave himself to Jesus, let Jesus be his master teacher of all of life, began to be healed, began to be restored, got together with other Christians, began to be able to tell the truth about his past. Marcus comes to the microphone. And he says, Hannah, my grandfather was a Nazi. He was a Nazi to the day of his death. My grandfather killed people. He killed Jews. My grandfather was an SS officer. My grandfather was in Chełmno the same time that your parents were gassed. And Hannah, I don't know what to do with that, except to stand here and say the words my grandfather never said. And of course, he was speaking in German. I'm giving you the translation. He said, Hannah, ich weiß nicht, was ich damit tun soll. Ich kann nur hier stehen und aussprechen die Worte, die mein Großvater nie gesagt hatte. Kannst du mir vergeben? Can you forgive me? So I'm sitting under this tent. Hannah's sitting next to me. I just knew what she was going to do. So she stands up. She goes to Marcos. He's this tall German businessman. She's this little short German Jewish woman. She comes to Marcos. She looks at him in the eyes, and she says to him, I forgive you. And they embraced. And Marcos and his wife became, as you can imagine, very, very close friends. That is not a story about Hannah. And it's not a story about Marcos. It's a story about Jesus. And the power that Jesus has to transform people into his likeness and into his image. Jesus is here. Have you ever met him? Would you like to? As we close, let's just take a minute in silence and give the opportunity to just say to Jesus whatever words in the quietness of your own heart you might like to say to him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, make yourself known to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.